All right, I want to pick up where we left off in the book of Lamentations. For anybody that's new, just let me give you just a brief background about this Lamentations. This is actually almost like a psalm that was written, apparently, by Jeremiah himself after the destruction of Jerusalem, after it was completely destroyed, and then the people, before they were going into exile, some of the things they were experiencing just before the collapse of the city and during the siege and after the siege, what they were experiencing. And this is something that people have to understand. God never does anything in the dark. He never does anything without revealing it to his prophets first. And this is what God has done time and time and time and time and time again with Israel. And when they would get out of line, when they begin to backslide, when they begin to get in all kinds of idolatry and immorality and godlessness and all kinds of things where they were just acting with hostility towards God, then you have to judge them over and over and over and over again. But God warned them clearly that if they did not listen to him, if they did not turn back to him, if they didn't turn from their sins, they didn't repent, then he was going to bring severe judgment upon them. And certainly he did, time and time and time again. But this is what Jeremiah is writing after the fall of Jerusalem, when the people had gone through so much suffering and death and dying. And this is something we have to understand about God. He's no respecter of persons, but he's always going to deal with his own people first when they get out of line. And you can see this all through history. I'm telling you, it's a frightful thing. You know, I just watched this book. Of course, people are going to say, well, here he is, Mr. Puddleglum. That's probably his kind of a book. But it's called The Great Big Book of Horrible Things. Okay, it's by this Matthew White. He just lists the 100 worst atrocities in history. And I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, this book, you got to have a strong stomach to read it. But I'm telling you, when he just lists some of the things here as far as just the death and destruction of dying, throughout history, and he lists them according to, you know, like, for example, the Second World War, I mean, there was 66 million dead in Genghis Khan. There was 40 million dead under Mao Zedong in China. There was 40 million dead. First World War claimed like something like 15 million people, but that doesn't include the millions upon millions that died of influenza during that war. And it just goes all the way down and just describes all of these tremendous atrocities throughout history. But I think it's very significant that the past 100 years we have experienced 2 world wars. It's almost like, in my opinion, dress rehearsals for the end of the world. And we've had thousands of conflicts before, between, and after. And people have just died by the millions. But it's nothing compared to what's coming. Nothing compared to what's coming. What the Bible describes is coming upon this world. Jesus himself said that if I do not come back and literally come back and put an end to the destruction, he says nobody's going to survive. No one, not even a cockroach, is going to survive what's coming. And people just do not like to hear that. They don't want to listen to it. They just feel like, oh, it's all negativity. And we want to be more upbeat. We want to be positive. But I'm telling you, I think a person who really can just stand back and look at what God is saying in his word can see clearly where we're headed. You know, and this is one thing that I think is a shame, what we see today among professing Christians and in the pulpit. We don't have too many, you know, pastors, ministers, priests, evangelists, or preachers that are out there telling people that, you know, what we need to do, we need to repent. We need to turn from our sins and give our lives over to God and commit to him. You see, we're not hearing that message. And I think people are just being lulled to sleep with this false sense of security when they say, well, I'm okay and you're okay, and can't we all just get along, and all we need to do is just love one another and sing kumbaya, and God wants to bless you. He wants you to be healthy and wealthy and prosperous. I mean, this is the message. It's almost like a symphony today that's coming out of our churches. And I really think that what we need is some voices like John the Baptist, you know, that are crying in the wilderness and saying, hey man, we really do need to turn back to God. Well, when people do not turn back to God, then God judges them. And he always starts with his own people first. And it's pretty darn devastating when he does deal with them. You know, I mean, God is long-suffering, he's compassionate, he's merciful, he's forgiving, but he's nobody's fool. And there comes a limit where he just says, thus far and no further. Well, that's what happened here. And now Jeremiah is just writing all about what's taking place, and he's really lamenting what's taking place here in this chapter 5 of Lamentations, because it says, Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our houses to aliens. We have become orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. We have to pay for our drinking water. Our wood comes to us at a price. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are worn out. There is no rest for us. We have submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is no one to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin has become as hot as an oven because of the burning heat of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the virgins in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung by their hands. Elders were not respected. Young men worked at the grinding mill, and youths stumbled under loads of wood. Elders are gone from the gate, and young men from their music. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes are dim. Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, foxes prowl in it. You, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are exceedingly angry with us. And another interesting thing about the way that Jeremiah writes this this book of Lamentations, it's done in such a way that four of the five chapters, they all have 22 verses, and each consecutive verse starts out with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It goes all the way through there because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. But then chapter 3, it was 66 verses, and so it was every third verse. And I think the way it was written, I think it was pretty darn ingenious. But it's also written like almost like a psalm or type of dirge, what he's basically writing here, as he's written here. But I really do think this is divinely inspired, because Jeremiah, he's heartbroken as what's happened to his people. But here's what I try to just continue to emphasize over and over and over and over again, is that if we look around what's happening to our country today, and of course to what's happening in our world, but especially our country, because this is one of the very few nations on earth that still claims to be a Christian nation. But we're just exactly where Israel was before God just basically destroyed them, and the survivors he hauled off into captivity until they learned their lesson. And everything our rulers are doing are just destroying us. They're just destroying us. It's like God has said, okay, you want to look to the government to save you instead of me? You want to look to the government to supply all your needs? You're going to put the government in the place of God? Oh, man, are we cursed. We are utterly, totally cursed. If you look down at that verse 8, it says, slaves rule over us. There is no one to deliver us from their hand. And then he talks about basically, you know, the type of leadership that they have. It's just sad to me where we're at, because like in Ecclesiastes, this is what Solomon wrote. He says, the toil of a fool so wearies him that he does not even know how to go to a city. Now, you know what that means? Listen to what he's saying. The toil of a fool so wearies him that he does not even know how to go to a city. Now, what we have reigning over us in this country are fools. All right, now, you know, I'm not trying to be insulting, I'm not trying to be belittling, but here's the thing. The Bible says over and over and over again that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we have really no wise leaders today, because most of them are just out to fill their pockets. They're just out for themselves. They're just self-serving. And they have no interest in God or the things of God. And the only time they refer to God is when they want to trot him out like a mascot and just use him for their own ends. And so they are incapable of doing the simplest things. When it says here, the toil of a fool so wearies him that he does not even know how to go to a city. In other words, the simplest things they can't figure out. Even the simplest things. And Solomon goes on to say in Ecclesiastes, he says, woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad and whose princes feast in the morning. You know what he means by that? Whose king is a lad means what? In other words, we are being ruled by children in a sense that they have no wisdom. They have no understanding. This is what's happening to us. And he says here, whose princes feast in the morning? Princes, just say politicians, feast in the morning. So what would that suggest to you? Here's the thing. If they feast in the morning, in other words, that's not the time to feast. That's the time to go to work.
Right.
That's the time to work, man. It's, you know, you feast on a holiday, or you, maybe you can have a big dinner when you get home. But these guys, they don't work. You see what I'm saying? And I don't want to get off on a political thing, but I'm just saying, look what's happening to us. And I'm telling you, all of this, what's happening to us is God's hand warning us, warning us, warning us. But we're not turning from our sins. There's an old Russian proverb that says, people get the leaders they deserve. You know, there's no hope for us other than turning to God with all of our heart. Like it says in Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal their land. But he's saying this. And Solomon said this, blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility and whose princes eat at the appropriate time for strength and not drunkenness. Well, we don't have leaders like this. And why? It's because we don't deserve leaders like this. And he says, through indolence, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks. Well, look what's happening to our house, to our nation, you know, because we don't have leadership that can take the bull by the horns and really make the tough decisions that need to be made and steer us out of the mess that we're in. We're just in a graveyard spin. And Isaiah, he says the same thing. When Isaiah, the prophet, God was using him to pronounce judgment about what was going to come upon the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom 100 years later. But this is what Isaiah wrote in chapter 3. He said this, I will make mere lads their princes. This is what God said. Now again, who are princes? They're the politicians. They're the leaders. So this is God says, you know what I'm going to do for judgment against these people when they turn against me and they start acting with such hostility towards me? I'm going to make their leaders mere lads. I'm going to make them children. This is what God said as a judgment. He says, I will make mere lads their princes and capricious children will rule over them. What's capricious mean? They flighty, they just do things on a whim, they show no intelligence. And this is what God says through Isaiah, I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them, and people will be oppressed, each one by another, each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, and the inferior against the honorable. And also he goes on to say, for Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because their speech and their actions are against the Lord. I'm going to read that again, because I'm reading from Isaiah, but Isaiah made this prediction about the destruction of Jerusalem over 100 years before it happened. But he said this, Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because their speech and their actions are against the Lord. Now look at our speech and look at our actions. Are they not against God? Everything we're doing, we're acting with hostility against him. That's what he says. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen. The expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Now this is Isaiah speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's giving us some insights as to why it's going to be destroyed. Now listen to this. And you see how it's applying today. You tell me how it's applying today, because he said this in Isaiah chapter 3 verse 9. The expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Now, how does that apply to us today?
We've legalized our sexual immorality.
And we display it. It's in your face. This is the where they had gotten to. All right, God loves us, but he hates our sin, and we have to come clean with that. But we won't, because he's saying here, the expression on our faces bears witness against him. We are bold in our sin, and we will not give it up. That's exactly the way they got. So if a nation gets that way, then there's no other hope for it than to be judged. And, you know, he's talking here, he says here in Isaiah, say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Woe to the wicked, it will go badly with them, for what he deserves will be done to him. He says, "Oh, my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your path." I'm going to read that again because, he's talking about the leadership. It is a judgment from God when we have leaders that cannot lead. It is a judgment from God, right? Mm-hmm. He says this, "Oh, my people, their oppressors are children." Now, here's the thing. Politicians, political leaders, have now become oppressors in what way?
We've got so many laws that they're passing. That
good.
It chokes us.
Good. Good. We're being stifled, being suffocated with more and more laws and rules and regulations and fines and assessments and fees and taxes. It's oppressive, 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 right? These leaders are children. That's what it says here. All my people. Now he's speaking to us too. He's speaking obviously to his people Israel, but we're a nation that claims to be God's people. All right? You don't believe me? Go anywhere you want where you can find a crowd of people and stick a microphone in their face and ask them if they believe in God. And it says, "Oh, my people, their oppressors are like children, and women rule over them." Now, that's not an insult to women, but what is the suggestion?
That they're weak.
They're weak in this respect. In Corinthians, Paul, and also in Timothy, Paul makes it very clear. He says, "I do not want women ruling over men or teaching men or preaching to men." All right. Now, Paul makes that abundantly clear, but we have to ask why. And then in Timothy, Paul tells us, he says, "I don't want them ruling over men," because he said this. He says, "It was Eve that was deceived and not Adam." And Eve was quite deceived. And here's my point. God has designed men and women, male and female, so differently that a woman has it more of a tendency to filter things through her emotions, more so than a man. That would mean that if women are ruling over us, it means that they're just going by their feelings. So he's saying, "Oh, my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your path." You see, you know, maybe you think I'm just beating this to death, but I'm just simply saying, look where we're at as far as what's happening to us. And then Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 1, when God was going to judge his people up north because of all their wickedness, he said this: "An ox knows his owner, and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." Now, do you know what that means?
Even a dumb animal knows its master.
Yeah, even a dumb animal knows who's buttering their bread, so to speak. They know their master. They know who feeds them. They know who cares for them. Even a dumb animal says, "But my people do not understand." You see what's happened to this nation? God's blessed this country from sea to shining sea. There's been no other nation on earth that's been blessed to the degree that we have been as far as being prosperous. All right? And now, because we have not given God the credit, the honor, the glory, the praise, we have not been grateful and thankful and appreciative. Instead, we've just insulted him to no end. Well, now, you know, this is the way Israel had gotten. But he also says in Isaiah chapter 1, it says this: "Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him." That's us to a T. We've despised God. But like I said, we like to look at God as being a mascot, not as God. You see, this is what happens to a country, to an individual, or to a church. Here's the thing. If we do not have a high opinion of God, all right, then our wickedness is just going to increase. In other words, God is up here. He's up in heaven. He's up there. But we're always trying to bring him down, bring him down, bring him down, bring him down to our level, right? God has made us in his image and likeness, but we're trying to bring him down to our level where he's made in our image and likeness, you know, so that we can feel comfortable in our sins. And I'm telling you, if we do not have a high opinion of God, then you're going to see wickedness abound, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry is just going to believe in God the way he wants to. And he wants to make God, basically fashion him into what he wants him to be. And he says here, In Isaiah chapter 1, it says, "Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, not softened with oil. Your land is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation and overgrown by strangers." Now, I think it's kind of interesting because the way Isaiah says, and this is God speaking, okay, in regards to his people, he says this, "Where will you be stricken again?" Now, apply this to this nation. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. All right? From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. That's our country. In other words, God is saying, where will you be stricken again? He's bringing natural disasters upon us, one after another, after another, after another, after another. I don't care whether they're hurricanes, whether they're tornadoes, or whether they're floods, or droughts, or forest fires. It's almost as though God's saying, well, where are you going to be stricken again? Right? I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to bring you to your knees. I'm trying to bring you to repentance. But he says here, where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? Look, regardless of what happens, we continue to pass laws that are an affront to him. We continue in our rebellion. You don't believe me? Just turn on the TV and watch some of the stuff that comes out of the TV, man. It just shows a rebellion against God. It's just a rebellion. He says, the whole head is sick. All right? Meaning our leadership is sick. And I don't care. We talked about the whole head. We're talking about the culture of elite of our society. I don't care whether you're talking about politicians, you're talking about judges, you're talking about academia, talking about our entertainment industry. It's all sick. And so he says, the whole heart is faint, from the sole of your foot even to the head. There's nothing sound in it, only bruises and welts and raw wounds. You see, now that's, you know, like I say, it's pretty, I guess, depressing when you're looking at it. But like I said, when I go through this Bible, I don't hopscotch through it. I just don't hopscotch through it. I just don't run around trying to pick out every verse that's going to say something positive. I just systematically go through every single book and every single chapter and every single verse, every single word. And isn't it amazing how much God speaks of judgment when you go through the Bible and seriously study it, seriously read it, right? And I don't care whether you're in the Old Testament or New Testament. It's the same thing. It really is if you really take the time to read it. And then because of their sins, these prophets over and over again, I don't care whether it was Micah, whether it was Jeremiah, whether it was Isaiah, one after another, God used these men to tell people, hey man, you need to turn around. If you do not turn around, you're going to be destroyed. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why we have this book of Lamentations. It's, now it's happened. All right. And Jeremiah is just aggrieved no end of what he sees with calamity here. Because he's saying, remember, O Lamentations chapter 5, remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers and our houses to aliens. But you know, this is exactly what God predicted in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said this, you shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locusts will consume it. Look at us today. We are people who just live from paycheck to paycheck, right? He says, you shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you will neither drink of wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will devour them. In other words, look at everything that's devouring our income today. I don't care. Everything from unexpected expenses to natural disasters. I mean, look at FEMA. I was mentioning a couple of weeks ago, the front cover of USA Today. It had disaster, disaster, disaster 89 times in bold letters above the fold written there. And to me, I see the word warning. Well, this is what happens. God's just sending all these disasters. And FEMA's broke. Our government's broke. The federal government's broke. Local government's broke. You know, we're all broke. But who has the good grace to say, you know, this is spiritual. This is God speaking to us. I mean, everybody's just asleep at the switch. And he goes on to say in Deuteronomy, you shall have olive trees throughout your territories, but you will not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. He says, the cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. Now listen to this. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. This is what's happening to us. And he goes on to say, he shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, but you will be the tail. Who are we borrowing from today? Where this never was the case. Every nation on earth looked to us, right? But now look at us. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. But who has the good grace to see that? That this is a judgment from God. I mean, it's a shame what's happening to us, all right? And then he says in that verse 4, says, we have to pay for our drinking water. Our wood comes to us as a price. The things that they used to take for granted, you know, drinking water, okay, firewood, all that stuff, they're being charged for, all right? Look at it. Every time we turn around, we're being charged more and more for the simplest things that, you know, were so ordinary, right? This is what happened to them. He says, pursuers are at our necks. We are worn out. There is no rest for us. Pursuers are at our neck. And I don't care. Well, you could apply it to creditors or gangs. You could apply it to all kinds of different things. Well, this is what God brought upon them. He says, we have submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. This is what happens. We are no longer a free people when we are dependent upon government for what? All of our handouts and entitlements? This is what happens when we put government in the place of God. Then we go begging to the government, you know. And he says, our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. Well, this whole, graveyard spin of this nation, it really began to take place around the 60s. Now look at 50, 60 years later, look at this, all right? These people who, you know, basically decided, well, you know what, we're going to throw off all shackles of God. Well, now they're running everything. But these people who are running everything, they're insulated. They've got their bodyguards. They're driving around in limousines, right? They're running the show. And who's paying for it? We are. He says, slaves rule over us. There is no one to deliver us from their hand. You know, I'm talking about people who are in positions of leadership who have no business being there. And we get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. In other words, things had gotten so bad for them, you know, that they had enemies inside and out. It says, our skin has become as hot as an oven because of the burning heat of famine. And this is the ultimate when it comes to, you know, God's judgments. And we read about this in Lamentation. We read about it earlier, so I'm not going to comment on that much. But when things get so bad that cannibalism sets in, you can't get much worse than that. They really can't, and that's what happened to these people. And it says, they ravaged the women in Zion, the virgins in the city of Jerusalem. This was another judgment, okay? Because I think it's almost like a poetic judgment that comes upon God's people when they really begin to flaunt their immorality. Then it comes back on their head 100-fold. He says, princes are hung by their hands, elders are not respected. There's coming at that day in this country where even our leadership is finally going to get it. And the elders are not respected. And just keep this in mind too, that in Leviticus, there was a law in the books where God said, if you had an elderly person, an older man that was walking by some young people that were just chewing the fat, smoking cigarettes, whatever they did back then, God said when that elderly man went by them that the young people needed to stand up and respect for him. Well, you know, can you imagine that today? Right? There's no respect for, I don't know, the young or the old. And that's what happens to us when we begin to devalue life. You know, and then he says in that verse 13, young men worked at the grinding mill and you stumbled over loads of wood. In other words, even little children are forced to work, not just child labor. I mean, these people are, the kids are suffering immeasurably because of these judgments, because of their parents. Elders are gone from the gate, young men from their music. No, the gate was a place of, they were like our courts, our modern-day courts. Well, it says here, elders are gone from the gates. This is what's going to happen even in this country. Everything's going to break down. You know, it's going to be anarchy. And the joy of our heart has ceased and dancing has turned into mourning. Well, this is what happens. But I'm telling you, I'm just going to kind of conclude this chapter by just saying this. We can look at this and we can say, man, this is all nothing but negativity. This is all nothing but, you know, just depressing. But here's the thing. If you really stand back and look at it, even though these people were going through such tremendous suffering, it was really God's mercy. Why do I say that?
Because he wanted people to turn back to
Yeah, because here's the shame of it all, is that there's not too many people that will really seek God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength unless they get a fire lit under them. And this is what's going to happen to this world. I'm going to close on this note, even though I've mentioned it going through this book before, but it says this in Revelation, when it's talking about the end of the world and the destruction of this planet, it says this: after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. Now, what's the symbol of palm branches? It's a symbol of victory, all right? This is what people would use. Remember when they put palm branches down when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? It's a sign of victory, all right? Now, these people are in heaven, and they're waving palm branches. But look what it says. It says, a great multitude which no one can count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Now listen to this. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in white robes, who are they, and where have they come from? I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones, now listen to this, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they stand before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. Now listen to this. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them or any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to the springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Here's the thing. We can read a book like Lamentations and these prophets, major prophets, minor prophets, and people just stay away from it because they say, man, this is nothing but depressing. But I'm telling you, this world has seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. I was reading these statistics from this book here, the great big book of horrible things, and it just mentions all of these millions of people that have died through these conflicts and all these different sufferings and stuff like that. The combined total of all of these is nothing. It's a drop in a bucket of what's coming. All right, when God really, really sends these judgments during the last 7 years of the world. But it's done in his mercy, because if God does not send these judgments against this rebellious world, most of these people who I just read about in chapter 7 of Revelation would not make it to heaven, because it's when they are suffering, when they've got nowhere to go but down on their knees and nowhere to look but up, that's when they can be saved, right? But as long as they just, are continuing to ignore God and go down this path of destruction they're on, there's no hope for them. Now, we're just finishing up this book now, this book of Lamentations. Like I said, most people don't even bother reading this because to most people, this is just gloom and doom. And this is nothing but bad news, and it's just depressing, and who wants to read about that? But I'm telling you, the wise person will look at it. The wise person, because Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, the wise man thinks much about death, right? He thinks about it, he reflects upon it, he looks at it, and a wise person, I think, will look back on history, and he will see how history continually repeats itself, you know what I'm saying? And you would think to yourself, man, anybody with any common sense could see what's happening to us today, because it's happened in the past. All right, and we're not going to get away with it any more than they got away with it in the past. So it's very instructive to me when you read these books, even though you don't go away with a good feeling. At least you go away being sober-minded. You know what I'm saying? And that's what God wants to do to us a lot of times, right? I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, praise God, everything's coming up roses, and just, send me money and God's going to bless you and you're going to be healthy and wealthy. And you know what I'm saying? You're not going to get that message from me, because I dig and dig and dig through this word and I don't get that message out of it. Anybody here want to add or share?
Yeah.